D-H-Z, go!
I used to say I'm the boss. They've hit at the most. They're doing real good, yeah. I would say they're the boss. They bring real information. If you don't know, I'm set nation. Dropping knowledge on the daily. Really?
Really?
These boys bring it on real.
Recording live from the SEC Sports Pub, here's Heath Elson-Son, Tomas Mauricio, and your host, David Romero.
Welcome in, another week, another edition. It's the BS and Beer Podcast crew recording here live at the SEC Sports Pub. With me, Heath Elson-Son.
Hello.
To my left, Tomas Mauricio.
Hi, I'm Dave Romero.
And for the next hour, we're going to be talking more Saints and useless information than anyone needs to know. So grab a drink, sit back, because from Ruston to Monroe, we're going to be doing 97.7 Sports Talk Radio and SEC Sports Pub, BS and Beer style. It is Draft-a-palooza here. At the SEC Sports Pub, we have all the coaches, all the general managers, everybody here, the green room, all that stuff. We're going to do the third annual BS and Beer Mock Draft here today. We have tons. It's a heavy news day. We have so much stuff to talk about.
I saw Jerry Jones over there drinking some
tea. Did you get a chance to shake hands with him?
No. Why would I want to shake his hand?
Well, okay, I know you're not a big fan. But what if the Saints picked up one of his players, man? Would that change anything?
Ain't happening.
Not happening?
I wanted to donate my $5 for going after the commissioner there, the fine he had to pay.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you get show my support.
Yeah. Show your support, throw a little something on it.
Throw $5.
Yeah, you know, that's how I like to do, man. Throw a little $5 on it, you know. All right. So, man, we have stuff all the way from Dez Bryant. Me and Tomas spoke briefly about it. Yep. I think we can have a good conversation about that. Matter of fact, I think the Saints, looking at a tight end in the draft, one of the guys I hear his name come up a lot, super athletic Gesicki. I have found his NFL match. You know, what do they call it? Whenever they, like an NFL guy that he's supposed to be like. I think there's an actual term for it. I just can't think of it right now. All right. So then Peyton made a few comments about the that's Coach Sean Peyton, by the way, made a few comments about the quarterbacks in this year's draft. They weren't too flattering. Going to have to hit on that. The Saints are going to keep Andres Pete. They picked up his fifth year of his contract, the option.
Right. Yeah.
It's just so much news today. We also, from the Draft Bible, Rick Saratella, he comes in, he talks a little draft with us and his ideas and thoughts of where he thinks some guys will go. So I'm looking forward to that. Tomas, all this news, all this stuff, man, how you feeling? I see you on the on your phone there trying to make some contacts, see what's going on, see who's going to be picked.
No, I'm just trying to see if somebody's going to pay us $19.95 for that extra hour that we're going to
You're not
going to
let that go, huh?
No.
No.
I got to monetize it somehow,
hey,
bro.
I'm
a businessman.
I saw, what's his name?
It's a business decision.
Underhill. They're doing it 99 cents.
Yeah.
All right, 99 cents. And you over there, he's going straight. He wants $20 for the extra show.
Look,
you know.
I'm just using the words of our good friend, Deion Sanders.
Yeah.
You know? Look how far Deion has fallen, right? Golden Corral. He's doing, honest to God, he's doing commercials for Golden. That's his voice.
I haven't. Oh, it is his voice.
It's his voice.
Y'all watch commercials?
Yeah, okay. We're not a millennial like you, Heath.
No.
So I didn't realize. You got to throw something else in there. Help me out here.
They've been having DVR since the early 90s. It's not exactly a millennial thing.
I was watching something. I don't remember what it was. And I hear Deion's voice. And I'm like, that's Deion Sanders' voice.
Yeah.
You know? And it's a Golden Corral commercial. I'm like, are you serious?
Hey, man, you got to strike while the iron's hot. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's because it's prime time. And they call it prime time whatever.
Oh, yeah. That
so
makes
they paid
sense.
Him the big bucks for that.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Wait up. Looks like the commissioner is coming to the podium. Let's see what he has to say.
Welcome to the BS and Beer Towers. We are now opening the 2018 NFL Draft. The Cleveland Browns are on the clock.
We hear that a lot, right? The Cleveland Browns are on the clock right after they say they open the draft up. It sounds like maybe the commissioner's having some problems with his microphone up there. Some technical difference. Yeah. Maybe when we get a break, he's
you
run up
tower.
There. Yeah,
it's really small
it's
tower.
It's very echoey in here. All right. So, hey, big news. Last week, it's probably the one of the bigger stories of the offseason, and we knew it was coming down to Wednesday, and the Saints got Cameron Meredith from the Bears. They signed him to an offer sheet. The Bears decided not to match. Yeah. We knew it was happening. We knew the news was coming down, and we were just right on the time for the show. So, hey, it couldn't have been any worse for the timing of the show. But the Saints have what I consider a very good wide receiver. Now, here's some negative things. Yeah. Is he is coming off a knee injury. So I do not expect him, as much as I do expect him to really help the Saints, I don't necessarily think it's going to help right away.
Yeah.
So.
Well, right away, you know, all fan bases do this, right? The guy that, before the announcement came out, all of the Bears fans were saying they should match, they should, you know. And then as soon as it came out that they weren't going to match, he was going to the Saints, according to the Bears fans. You know, he's literally got a couple of rubber bands and toothpicks, and they're holding that whole thing together, to fall apart again.
Legs just going to fall off when he's
before
walking.
Before he even walks out on the field for the first time, it's just going to snap.
And I got to tell you, it's kind of opposite for me because, I mean, I have to admit, I got very excited about him. I think he's going to be tremendous for the team. As soon as the Saints announced that, the reports came out that the Saints would have him, immediately the first reaction was happy, and then it was like, man, I hope he's healthy. I hope he's worth the money. It's like, it's so funny. You want something so bad. You see that, like, 70-inch TV.
Hope he doesn't have a heart condition.
Yeah, you see that. Oh, stop it. You see that 70-inch TV, and you're like, I got to have it, man. Yeah. I got to have it. Yeah. Then you pay, and you get the credit card out, and you put it in your house, and you watch that show, and you start doing, man, did I really need a 70-inch TV?
Yeah, I don't know if it looks as good as I thought it was going to look.
So, but, hey, I have high expectations for him. I just think that it's going to be, you know, kind of an ease them, you know, toes in the water kind of thing. It's not going to be from day one, game one. They're looking to have him back for camp. He's shooting for, and this is something that he said, shooting for game one. He's not really so much worried about, and neither am I, training camp. But you have to imagine there's some, you know, lack of, you know, chemistry with Drew Brees that's going to happen right away. So it's just going to be something, you know, almost like a rookie where you bring in a guy and think about, like, I was thinking Jimmy Graham.
Right.
You know, when he came in, he didn't start really making plays until, you know, later in the season, week 10. Michael Thomas wasn't, he didn't come into the league blowing it up. But towards the end of his rookie year, started making plays. You start realizing you had a player there. So Cameron Meredith, I think it might be, you know, week 4, 6, something like that before we start seeing. Oh, stop it, Tomas. Okay, let's hear the evaluation from Tomas.
Well,
you just trying to get
on
my skin.
Look, trying to be realistic now.
Tomas recently joined the Ochsner staff. I don't know if he told you that. But
yeah, that's right. Yeah. That's right.
You got that insight.
That's right. There are 4 major tendons to the knee. This guy completely tore one and partially tore number 2. So, you know, I'm just saying to you, when a player tears an ACL, usually it's 9 months to a year before they're, you know, pretty much back up to it. But if you tear the ACL completely and then you have a partial tear of the MCL, well, that's 2 of the 4. Stability of the knee can come into question. As a wide receiver, you're trying to plant and make a cut. Maybe you don't make so many good plants and cuts. So I'm just saying, not to throw water on your parade.
I don't know. That was the ice bucket challenge.
Yeah,
man.
I don't know, man. I'm kind of tired of doing this show now. I'm ready to just call it a day.
That's it, folks.
But that would play into our other discussion we'll have later where you're going to take the side that's opposite mine. So, you know, that could work out for you.
We have a pick.
All right.
Hold on.
With the first pick of the 2018 NFL Draft, the Cleveland Browns select quarterback Josh Allen.
What?
When did you start holding the draft in the Hoover Tunnel or whatever?
Hey, man, come on now.
I'm shocked.
Hey, y'all realize we don't have that ESPN money anymore. The budget's tight,
that's
okay?
Right, that's right.
You got a Mickey Mouse microphone up here.
I understand, but I'm shocked. Aren't you shocked? I thought for sure Lamar Jackson was going to be the first pick made.
You know, this is going to be one of those days where Tomas. Matter of fact, okay, so let's just get into it right now. You know, the Saints are on the precipice of signing Dez Bryant there, Tomas. It's going to happen. It's just a matter of time. You haven't heard about that yet?
I heard about he got released. I hear anything about the Saints.
Oh, yeah. Dave. The Saints fans, Dave is your typical Saints fan. As soon as it came out, They was tweeting away. Oh, that's Bryant.
None of that happened. Hey, it's 97.7 Sports Talk Radio. It's the third annual NFL BS and Beer Draft. Y'all don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the BS and Beer Podcast. Now back to your two yats and a coonass.
Sugar-free, gluten-free, fat-free, talent-free, and free-free, the BS and Beer Podcast.
Welcome back. It's the BS and Beer Podcast crew. Dave Romero, Heath Elson-San, Tomas Mauricio, Sports Talk 97.7. While you were gone, there were three picks. Number two pick in the draft, Sam Darnold. I know they don't normally do it like this, but Sam Darnold goes to the Giants with the second pick. And no big surprise here, the New York Jets, Baker Mayfield goes to the New York Jets with the third pick. If you were with us for the last segment, is when Tomas, who slept at a Holiday Inn Express last night, pretty much said that Cameron Meredith was a complete waste of money, yep. And the guy's never going to walk again. So I'm not sure. I think he's going to do big things. I see a 50-60 catch season, 800 yards, 700 yards.
Dr. Betty Boom Bop. So... I think he's a little bit better than Oshner, but not by much.
Oh, yeah. Man. Oh, boy. All right, so moving on, I kind of mentioned earlier the Saints, and I just like doing this because it gets Tomas all riled up, but I actually got a call from a guy who knows a guy or whatever, and you know what's funny? I'm reluctant to say, no, it's real. It's real. Yeah. I'm reluctant to even go here. I started to tweet it. Yeah. I literally hit send, and then I deleted it within like 10 seconds. Did you okay. see it?
Well, I saw it, and when I went to click on it, it says can't retrieve tweet right now.
All right, okay. Well, that's one of those teasing things. Yeah. You know, you just kind of
yeah.
give him a little bit.
But you got but don't let him have it. You got to tease him a little, make him chase you.
All right. So basically, I got a call from someone who is very close to Dez Bryant. And
his mama?
It could be. You know, I can't divulge those things. And listen, I'm not an insider. I don't try to be. I'm not going to pretend. And mainly I'm saying all this stuff so that when things don't work out, that I don't want to get the wrath that I saw going towards some other guys. But at the end of the day, this person is very close to the Dez Bryant camp. And they basically said that they're very interested in Saints. The problem is that I got no information on whether the Saints had any interest in Dez Bryant. And they didn't say they actually did say that they haven't talked to the Saints. So all this stuff sounded like some wishful thinking because apparently Dez Bryant is not getting a lot of suitors, a lot of attention, so there's no money out there for him right now. Having said that, I think it's worth a minute to talk about. I think that he could help the Saints. Now here's the thing: he got cut from the Cowboys. I think he was making somewhere around $14 million. He's not a $14 million receiver. He's lost a step. He's not the same guy. But if he came in for, I'm going to say $3 million. I mean, $4 million. Yeah, something like that. I think that he would improve the Saints roster. Now, do you want to deal with all the shenanigans on the sidelines? Not a big fan of it. But I will say this. If we bring him in for the right money, I think I would be interested in having him on the team. I don't know. I just feel like he can improve the team. But I do see the downside of it. Tomas, let me have it. Let me have it.
Well, let me get in here before he goes off on
all right. His ears are getting all red right now.
You know, look, a guy like Dez Bryant, do I think he could help the Saints? Yeah, I think he could help a lot of teams. Do I think the Saints would have any interest in Dez Bryant? No.
Heath, that's easy to say, but how do you explain Sean Payton followed him on Twitter? I mean,
well,
come on.
You know, I know. I can explain it the same way that Sean Payton said how much he loved Lamar Jackson and then said no quarterback in the draft is worth a you-know-what.
Okay, now you're getting
it the same
way.
Hey,
man, that's another talking point. You're jumping ahead of the game here. Tomas?
Well, look, here's what I would say to you. Dez Bryant is the kind of player that someone like Mr. Romero here would like because he has experience. He's proven it on the field. He's already shown you what he could do.
Oh, I sound like that. Okay.
And so that's the kind of player that Mr. Romero likes. However, he does not take into consideration the kind of character that this person might be or the way in which he'll fit in with the chemistry of the team. So I would say this to you. To a lot of people, he might be a better receiver. And if the Saints sign him, God bless him. But I would say that we're looking at another 7-9 season if they sign. There you go.
Wow.
I mean, I think that's pretty reasonable. I think he got all the venom out when we had the conversation earlier. By the way, let's do a quick update. While we were talking, Tomas, I don't know if you heard in the background, the commissioner comes out, the last three picks. The Cleveland Browns, again on the clock at number four, pick Barkley, the running back.
All right.
Number five, Denver Broncos, Josh Rosen, another quarterback off the board. That makes four out of five picks, quarterbacks, and none of them are Lamar Jackson, Tomas.
I just can't believe it.
All right.
You know, here's what's going to happen. You see, the Saints are going to pick Lamar Jackson. He'll be perfect throwing the ball to Dez Bryant. Hey, you got to win and see.
Man,
we won't even make 7 or 9. I'm predicting maybe 4 and 12.
I mean, he makes you not want to.
Wow.
You just got to keep your opinions to yourself, this guy. One more pick before we go. The Indianapolis Colts, they pick the pass rusher, Bradley Chubb.
Wow.
So there you go. Top six picks. We'll let you know as soon as the commissioner comes up, and we might actually go live to the podium when the commissioner comes back up. Yeah. All right. Was it that funny? Okay. So listen, we have four out of the first five picks of quarterbacks, right? Am I right with that? Yeah, yeah. So okay. So earlier, I guess on Monday.
You answer yourself. Am I right with that? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I'm right on that. Anyway, so Coach Payton's talking to Peter King on the Monday Morning Quarterback. And the comments were, and I'm paraphrasing, this is not verbatim, but that he didn't really have much good to say about any of the quarterbacks in this year's draft. And he just said, hey, that he thinks that Sam Darnold has the best chance of all of them, but he said there's no luck. And who's the other? I think you mentioned the quarterback from Philadelphia, that there's none of those guys in the draft. So
he said there was no Andrew Luck in this group was the first one.
And I think
said,
right sure, now there's no Carson
Wentz. Carson Wentz, that's okay. So now the question is, why would he say that? Okay, what is it? Listen, when I think of Sean Payton, he says something. There's a reason he says it. He didn't just say that for no reason. Now it makes you start wondering if Sean Payton's over there and he's pretty much downplaying the quarterbacks, he has no motivation to do that other than what? I mean, does he want to hurt these guys' career? Is he trying to discourage some people from drafting them? To me, unless he's planning on getting a quarterback, which I don't think is the case, then he wants all the quarterbacks possible to go ahead of 27.
Right. If he were playing an angle, then it would actually make more sense for him to say that. You know, basically what you just said, to try to get people to come off of the idea of a quarterback, and then potentially he can make a move and grab a quarterback. But I don't, you know. Other than that, it really doesn't make any sense for him to say that now.
No, I would agree with you. Unless, you know, again, if Baker Mayfield were to tumble down, because in one of the drafts that I put together, I had him going like around 11 or 12. If he were to happen to make it outside the top 10, I think that this would be then a way that Peyton would say, I'm going to throw some smoke out there, because if he's out there at 11 or 12, well, we can try with trade with the Dolphins and maybe pick him up. But at the end of the day, in my opinion, I don't think any of these quarterbacks are worth a first-round draft choice except Baker Mayfield. Honestly, God, I really think that when their rookie contracts are all done after the 4 or 5 year stint, Rosen will be just like I told Dave before. He'll be another version of, what did I tell you, the guy who went to Miami, who was at Chicago?
Cutler.
He'll be another version of Cutler. He has no charisma, no nothing. Rosen, it's just a question of time for somebody knocks him out of the game. He'll be one of those concussion guys who have to retire. You know, Allen.
I mean, I never seen anybody in my life. He has the future plan. He's not I don't think there'll be a good quarterback. He's
again,
like, this guy will blow out his ankle walking to the mall, and this guy.
Look, do you want me to just be pablum?
No. I mean,
you know, I can certainly sit here and agree with Jeff Duncan and agree with, you know.
You can try agreeing with me every once in a while. That makes me feel better about myself.
Okay. All right. Well, we're going to sign Dez Bryant. It's all going to be good.
All right.
Hey, go ahead.
We have to. Let's catch up on the picks right now. Number seven, Tampa Bay picks the safety, Derwin James. Then Chicago with the eighth pick, Mika Fitzpatrick. Easy for me to say.
Yeah.
And then the last pick, San Francisco, Roquan Smith. Matter of fact, picking another linebacker.
Because
apparently last year's linebacker didn't work out so well, and that's Reuben Foster. He's over there in in San Francisco trying to keep it real.
Yeah, he's keeping it real.
Now, right. Here's something interesting. It was very widely said, it almost seemed like common knowledge, that the Saints were ready to pick Reuben Foster right before the 49ers traded up.
Yeah.
On the same Monday morning quarterback, I guess Sean Payton said that wasn't true. Now, I got to tell you, his logic, it didn't really hold water with me. They had him on the phone, and Sean Payton said that he just wanted to talk to Foster's girlfriend and basically find out, like, hey, you're going to keep this guy in line if we draft him? And, you know, yeah. He said in the process the Saints didn't get a chance to talk to her, and I don't buy it. I don't know if maybe he's just trying to save a little face. Like, nah, we weren't going to pick that guy.
Yeah, well, of course. But I would say the same thing right now.
Yeah,
no absolutely. Way.
So,
but he had red flags. It's not like he didn't have red flags before he got drafted.
I don't know if it was all that many red flags.
There were
it was injuries.
Okay, do you not remember he went to the combine and he was going to do the medical report? And he jumped all over somebody at the clinic or the hospital, and knocked him up against the wall.
I don't remember knocking him up against the wall.
And everything.
I thought he just yelled at him.
No. It was a physical confrontation.
Wow.
Yeah. And then, again, when you did a little bit more background, he had a couple of these issues, anger issues, while he was in college.
Apparently.
So, you know, I'm just saying, it wasn't like the guy was clean cut before they drafted him.
All right, the commissioner's coming to the podium. Let's see.
With the 10th pick of the NFL draft,
the Raiders are up.
The Oakland Raiders select linebacker Tremaine Edmonds. The Miami Dolphins are on the clock.
All right, there you go. Tremaine Edmonds picked up by the Raiders. Listen, we had talked about tight ends. I still think that it's the biggest need area. But one of the guys I hear talked about a lot, very athletic, Mike Gesicki of Penn State.
Yeah.
So as I'm doing some research on him, I realized that his NFL comp, and that's the word I couldn't figure out early, his NFL comp is our very own Fleener. I went back and I did some research on Fleener coming out of college.
Yeah.
You know, he's 6'6". He ran like low four fives.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, just big guy, and they were like, hey, he's not a good blocker. He's basically his draft guide information described him now.
Right.
And that's the same guy that this Gesicki is. And so they're talking about how athletic, and they're like, oh, man, I want to get that guy in the first round. I want to get that guy at 27. And I see it all over Twitter. And quite frankly, he looks like he's someone we already have on the team. Now, I really wish I would know what's going on with Kobe Fleener. Like, I've heard, and it makes sense, that he's still under the concussion protocol and that the Saints really are hanging on to him to wait to figure out, not necessarily that they're going to keep him, but, let the health issue play itself out.
Yeah.
But regardless if he's still on the team, they have to let that play out before they can release him or make any moves. But that we shouldn't expect to see him back on the team in 2018.
And they have to wait till June anyway. The next cut date is June. So they can get
That's what they wanted to do anyway.
Right, right. So I don't
expect to save some money.
Yeah.
And, okay, so I don't remember all the details, but the thing is that he was guaranteed some money at a certain point just a few months ago. So it's like, hey, we got to give him this money, then wait till June 1st to split that money.
And that was at the time. I read an article, and it made sense that the Saints at the time either A, planned to keep him, okay, they just actually planned to keep him and have him in their plans, or B, they knew at the time he couldn't pass a physical.
Right, right.
You can't cut somebody like that with
And he couldn't pass, and that's the thing that he had in his contract. He had in his contract that if he was injured and couldn't pass a physical, they still had to pay him X number of dollars. But his contract is also the kind of contract that after June, is it the 1st of June?
Yeah.
Can't remember where it is. After that, then the Saints can cut them, and they save millions of dollars, on the cap.
Three point something on the cap.
Yeah.
All right, let's get an update on the draft right now, because I think one of these next few picks is going to be very interesting for Tomas. So apparently with the 11th pick, Miami picks Vita Vea. Now, I remember you liked him, and at one point it wasn't in the draft early enough, and you called that out.
Yeah.
There he goes at number 11, and the one that Tomas can be excited about. At 12, the Buffalo Bills pick quarterback Lamar Jackson.
There you go.
So Moss was waiting for that to happen.
There you go.
Probably a little disappointed it went so late.
Man, yeah. I thought for sure it was the first round pick. Yeah. You know, a number one pick.
Yeah, just right off
the bat. So that tells us that the Bills still haven't learned their lesson.
Well, I mean, it could tell you that. I mean, the Buffalo Bills have struggled with quarterbacks since Jim Kelly.
Yeah.
And they've had some guys in there, some athletic quarterbacks. They go with what most consider the most athletic quarterback. And he's your stereotypical high-risk, high-reward guy, you know.
So they've gone from E.J. Manuel to Tyrod Taylor and then potentially the Lamar Jackson. Maybe the third time will be the charm. I'm doubting
man,
it.
Man, I don't
know.
I'm looking at this, and I'm but let's continue on. I'm a little skeptical. Continue on. The big guard goes to the Redskins, Quentin Nelson, and then a guy that I really like for the Saints, Harold Landry, goes to the Green Bay Packers. And he was a guy I would hope that somehow or another he would slip down to the Saints. So there you go. That's the latest and greatest update for the BS and Beer mock draft at the BS and Beer Towers. Little microphone problems today. But we're working through the technical difficulties. We want to thank y'all for being patient with us. Hey, it's the BS and Beer podcast crew, Dave Romero, Heath Elson-San, Tomas Mauricio, Sports Talk 97.7. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
I find a key, I can't find the door.
You're listening to the BS and Beer podcast.
BS and Beer, standing up for the little people, man.
BS and Beer podcast.
Standing up for people.
BS and Beer.
Indeed, you are powerful.
Americans are going to stand up and say,
BS and Beer.
And I'm just telling you what people are going to do.
We fight bullies.
BS and Beer podcast.
There's going to be a revolution
for the people.
BS and Beer.
There's going to be riots in the streets.
BS and Beer.
BS and Beer.
Getting ready to rise up.
BS and Beer podcast.
Come on, I'm joining them.
Now witness the firepower that this fully armed and operational
podcast.
Welcome back. It's the BS and Beer podcast crew. Dave Romero, Heath Elson-San, Tomas Mauricio, Sports Talk 97.7. We are in the midst of the first round of the third annual BS and Beer mock draft at the BS and Beer Towers. Now, BS and Beer is well invested. In all kinds of, not only real estate, but in the limited liability corporations and all that stuff. Let's give you a quick update on the NFL draft so far. Last you heard Harold Landry. Now we have the Arizona Cardinals. They pick offensive lineman Mike McGlinchey. Okay. And then the wide receiver, Baltimore Ravens pick, Cortland Sutton. The Chargers go offensive line with Connor Williams. And one more pick, Seattle trying to help out that offensive line with Isaiah Wynn, the guard. So there you go. We all caught up. We up to pick 19 with the Dallas Cowboys. I wanted to talk a little bit about some – you want to talk about bad luck. Did you notice Philadelphia Eagles, they make two trades this offseason?
Yeah.
Michael Bennett, Darryl Worley.
Yeah.
Both of them. Keeping it real.
Yeah.
Both of them arrested recently. I really don't have a whole bunch against Philadelphia. They're not a team that is, I don't know, it's kind of hard to dislike. I used to dislike them.
Yeah.
But nowadays, it's kind of like.
Chip Kelly was there and all. I really didn't like them.
Oh, I'm talking further back than that. But now, you know, listen, you make two trades and you're like, we got some guys going to help our team. And both of them arrested.
Well, you know, so I don't know about Worley, honestly. I don't know if he had any red flags in the past and all that kind of stuff. But Bennett, a little bit of controversy, you know, not exactly a guy that, you know, it's shocking to find out.
You know,
that
he always seems to kind of skirt the, what's right and what's wrong.
Yeah, it's always somebody else's fault, you know.
Exactly. But, the Vegas thing.
Yeah, getting chased down by the cops and all this stuff. And
got caught lying in that, too. Like, he stated that something, and then they popped up. You don't want to lie about how things went down in Vegas.
Yeah.
Because there is a video camera that's going to catch
everywhere,
something.
Yeah.
You know, like, no, man, I wasn't even there, man. I was over there. And who's this? Oh, that's not the way I remembered it, you know. So definitely.
I didn't realize they had camera in them elevators.
That's right.
Oh, boy, that's another. I forgot about that. All right. So here, Tomas.
Yes, sir.
Schefter says that Peyton really loves Taysom Hill. That's this week's news, man. I mean, it's groundbreaking stuff.
Well, he might love him as far as a special teams player. Well,
the question is, does he love him more than Lamar Jackson?
So what was the news, that he loves Taysom Hill or that we believe anything that Schefter had to say? I'm not sure which one was
I was right. I go with that.
That is breaking news right there. Breaking news. Hold on.
Breaking news from the BS and Beer news desk.
Breaking news. Schefter says this just in. Schefter said something that somebody might actually find as credible information. I don't know why he got that reputation, but
they all have that now. I mean, look, Rappaport. I mean, all these people, they're just trying so hard to be the first one to break something.
Splash reports.
Yeah, you know, and so it ends up, you know, being nothing.
Unlike us, we never break anything.
That's
See,
right.
We don't get in trouble.
Well, that's how you
broke
spare
some news
yourself,
earlier.
Right, yeah.
I broke some news earlier.
You did?
Yeah. Like,
oh, is that what you're calling
wind?
It now?
Yeah, breaking news.
Are you calling that breaking news now?
I just somebody think, told me that something might be happening.
I'm just saying that when I was in elementary school, they used to call it something else, breaking something else. But that's okay. Go ahead.
All right, here's another tidbit of news for you. Gail Benson comes out with a letter to the NFL, and she says that basically she's going to own the Saints for the rest of her life. That's reassuring.
Yeah. How old is she?
I mean, she's in her 70s.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, we might not have that. You know what? Just today, ironically, had nothing to do with this. I was looking up the age of the average male in the United States, and it's about 70, and it actually broke it down by state.
Really?
So I figured I average have somewhere about 75 years. So, quite frankly, yeah, 70 years old, man. Women live a little bit older, longer, but I don't know. It's not like we have, because you know, back in the day, man, whenever Benson took over, you know, we had a long stretch there, a long run. I don't know if this next stretch will be quite as long, but it shows her commitment and she is ready to, you know, she's sticking around, because a lot of people worried about what's going to happen, what's the future. I thought some of the worry was a little bit silly.
We knew it was coming.
You know,
they can make a story out of it no matter how illegitimate it is. We knew it was coming, and sure enough, well, I mean, they got started even quicker than I expected. Yeah.
Why are you guys looking at me all
the time? Well, I'm waiting for some input. I mean, you know, this is a talk show.
Well, I'm supposed to. I'm trying to be friendly now. And, you know, you told me you wanted me to be friendly, and so.
No, I told you to disagree with me every once in a while.
Yeah, I agree with you, Dave.
All right, let's see. Next news item here. Hey, this is a Dave Romero hot take. Y'all ready? Hot take, Dave Romero. I need to get a sound bite for that. I think running back, quiet need in the draft. This is Ingram's last year on his contract. I think that, you know, at his age, he's going to be, 29 now?
Yeah.
I think that for a running back, you know, he's –
No,
he's,
I know.
He's getting up there.
He's already.
And here's the thing:
beat the average for a running back.
Once you get to the point where you have the guy's earned a good contract,
right?
But he's at that age where if you reward him with that good contract, you end up with a player who may fall off the edge again. Back to the running back thing. So to me, while I'm not talking about a first rounder, I think that the Saints are going to need to invest. And let's not even talk about Ingram and his contract next year. What happens if either Ingram or Kamara gets dinged up for 3 or 4 games? Do you realize that when Kamara went out in the Atlanta game, no other running back got a touch? Ingram was the sole workhorse. That doesn't say a lot about their confidence in anybody else on the roster.
Yeah.
So I think it's important that maybe one of those fifth rounders, sixth rounders, we find us a running back.
I think you're right, Dave. I agree with you completely.
All right.
I agree with that. I don't know that they have a whole lot of confidence in Edmonds and who else is there now? Edmonds and who? Anybody?
I don't know.
As I recall in that game against Atlanta where Kamara went out, two running backs were on the inactive list. Lasko was still hurt. He wasn't active at all. So I'm pretty certain that we were down to just three running backs in the whole game anyway.
Right.
And I think that was part of the issue, which is why they said, well, we can't put the other guy in because if he gets hurt, then we only have one running back. And so we're going to go with Ingram. And if he gets hurt, then we have one running back left. And I think that's why they changed the offensive philosophy for that Atlanta game. But I think it was a question of they didn't have any other running backs back there that they could use.
Well, and that says something, too. I mean, one way or another, they don't have somebody in there that they have confidence in to even be active on game day. Because as good as our running backs were last year and are as players, all it takes is one thing. I mean, Kamara, the Atlanta game, great example of you better have at least one more guy that is capable of handling the ball that you have some trust in. And I don't think the Saints really have a guy that they feel could be that third guy.
You're the only guys that they have on the roster as of right now that I can find. They have Ingram. They've got Williams, some guy from Arkansas. I don't remember him. They got Edmonds, who's the brother of the
guy getting drafted.
Linebacker.
Linebacker.
Yeah.
Trey Edmonds.
And, yeah. And they have Lasco and Kamara.
Yeah, see, I don't know that we had Williams at the time.
Yeah, I
can't remember when
we
picked him up. Yeah, but I don't think we had him at the time. But he's a guy that might have some promise.
Right.
Well, one way or another.
You signed week 11. I just looked it up.
Okay, yeah.
I really, promise, no promise. I mean, I don't know how a guy who's on the street in week 11 is someone that you want to put that trust in.
They picked him up from the Broncos practice squad.
Yeah.
So I think that's something that we might see the Saints using, you know, fourth, fifth, sixth rounder on, get us a running back. And the thing about running backs, I know there's been a resurgence. Now we're starting to see running backs getting drafted early again because there's a little period there where, I mean, you would be hard-pressed to find running backs in the first round.
Yeah.
Teams have come back to that. Having said that, I still think that they're good running backs, really good running backs that can help your team in the – and you can get them in the third round, the fourth round, the fifth round. So, I mean, look, we find running backs, and even the Saints find running backs in undrafted free agent guys.
Yeah.
So they're good running backs that it's just not – for whatever reason, it's just not a premium position. You can always find a good guy later on.
You could say that there hasn't been that many Fournettes and Barkleys that have come out at running back as far as, you know, these guys getting drafted high at the running back position.
And I think that we're going to cover this topic when we go to our bonus coverage. Okay. And so, you know, again, you might be interested in making a phone call here or there to let us know what you think. And, Dave, so what is that number?
If you want to call the hotline, 701-901-1295. Give us a call. We didn't get any hotline calls this week. You know, it's off season. It's kind of slower this time of year.
Not for me, but okay.
No, you're a hard worker. But the NFL draft, we're about a week out next Thursday. Are we going to the SEC? Are we going to do our annual SEC viewing party?
Yeah.
I agree with you, Dave. Whatever you think, sir.
This is going downhill quick. No, this is going downhill quick. All right. Appreciate you. Whatever I say, huh? I just give you time and date, and you'll be there.
You're the man.
All right. If you want to email us, send us an email to bsandbeer@icloud.com. We do have an email from Cornell again. He said that if the Saints, he wants to see the Saints draft Trey Quinn, and if they don't, he's going to go to Airline Highway and burn it down. I'm seeing a theme here. Cornell got
violent guy. Yeah.
He get what he wants. He's going to burn something down.
He's just keeping it real.
He's keeping it real. Yeah. Hey, and at the end he says, I love this podcast. All right, Cornell, appreciate you, bro.
So Trey Quinn used to be at LSU, SMU after transferring, and outplayed Cortland Sutton this past year.
Okay.
He's a guy that I actually would like to see the Saints pick up.
Me too.
Third or fourth round projection.
I think he'll be there in our fifth. We have two fives.
Okay.
Yeah. Man, and that's the thing. Those extra picks you have in the fifth round, the sixth round, that's when you can start taking a little risk. Find that guy that, you know, maybe got in a little trouble.
Sleepers.
Yep.
Sleepers, too, you know.
Somebody who slipped for whatever reason, you can take a little gamble on that.
Yeah.
All right. So, listen, Snead. We talked a lot about him this offseason.
Snead.
He's decided that he wants to join the Saints during the offseason workouts. So he signed a waiver, from what I understand.
That's correct.
And he's going to participate in the offseason workout.
But he only has till Friday. My understanding, any team can make him an offer through Friday. The Saints then have until that end of Friday to either match it or let him go. If there is no offer sheet from anybody else, then all he has is the Saints tender, 1.9.
But he can no longer accept offers from other teams.
That's it. He's done.
I got
you. And then if he doesn't sign that with the Saints, then he's still property of the Saints. He just doesn't play.
Gotcha.
That's all there is to it.
All right, so let's get you updated on the draft. While Tomas was talking, the commissioner came out, made a few picks. Let's see. We have number 19, Denzel Ward goes to the Cowboys. Then at 20, we have Maurice Hurst, the defensive lineman, goes to Detroit. Then another defensive lineman at 21 goes to Cincinnati Bengals, and that's Deron Payne. The last pick to update, Buffalo Bills pick wide receiver from LSU, DJ Chark. There you go. That updates you on all the picks. You were saying about Snead, Heath.
Yeah, you know, we talked over and over about how much money Snead lost by messing up, but at the end of the day, he can still make $1.9 million and his contract time again next year if he performs back up to snuff.
Yeah, so it's just 1 year. Yeah. He basically he's on a prove-it deal, but, you know, I know a lot of guys on prove-it deals not making $2 million.
Right,
you know,
exactly. So, sign you $1.9 million and come out, get it together, play like you played in the past, and you'll get another good contract.
Hey, it's the BS and Beer podcast crew, Dave Romero, Heath Elson-San, Tomas Mauricio, third annual mock draft here on Sports Talk 97.7. Don't go anywhere. We're down the home stretch.
It's been 1 week since you looked at me.
You're listening to the BS and Beer Podcast.
BS and Beer Podcast, the worldwide leader in absolutely nothing.
Welcome back. It's the BS and Beer Podcast crew. Dave Romero, Heath Elson-San, Tomas Mauricio.
Yes, sir. I agree with you.
Our BS and Beer third annual mock draft.
That's right.
Listen, let's get you caught up. While you were gone, at 23, New England Patriots picked Marcus Davenport. At 24, the Carolina Panthers picked cornerback Jyree Alexander. At 25, Calvin Ridley, the wide receiver, goes to the Tennessee Titans. And the last pick to update, defensive lineman B.J. Hill, goes to the Atlanta Falcons. All right, let's hit the graffiti hotline. Let's talk to Rick Saratella of the NFL Draft Bible. Rick, I know this is a busy time of year, man. Thank you so much for coming in and spending some time with us.
Hey, David, man. I always have time to crack open a cold one with you, my man.
All right, awesome. Listen, give us an idea. There's so much going on right now. It's that time of year, draft about a week away. What's the big news? What's the word out there? What's the things that the fans should be excited about and thinking about whenever, you know, next Thursday rolls around?
Well, you know, I think that there's a lot of trade rumors up in the air. I think you've seen an influx of these young general managers who are willing to wheel and deal. And, you know, quite honestly, this time of year, it gets a little bit nerve-wracking because there's almost too much time now. We've completed the draft process. We had the All-Star Circuit. We had the Combine, the Pro Days. Teams are setting up their boards, and, you know, the media gets a little bit restless. So I call it smokescreen season. I wear earmuffs this time of the year. I believe very little. And, you know, I don't know about other sources out there, but to me, the sources that I trust and respect usually don't want me to put relevant or accurate information out there. So the information that does get leaked, I think, is a little bit of some team executives maybe playing the media a little bit, and the media will buy into it. So, you know, you're hearing things right now like Josh Rosen might slide. I just don't see it. We'll see three quarterbacks off the board, 1, 2, and 3. And, you know, right now it's just a situation where we have to wait and see how the next week or so unfolds.
Okay, well, because we kind of saw it at the beginning of the offseason, free agency season, a lot of deals, a lot of trades, things that to me in all of my years of following NFL football, we didn't see that kind of stuff going on. So it's interesting that we might see a lot more of that come draft day. All right, Rick, the New Orleans Saints. Maybe a couple of weeks ago, Coach Payton said tight end, wide receiver, defensive end. Those were the areas that he saw that we had the biggest need. Now, since then, we signed Ben Watson, a tight end. We signed Alex Okafor, re-signed him. And then we brought in Cameron Meredith. Of those three positions, Cameron Meredith are about the only guys that I see as an actual upgrade. So to me, I still see defensive end and tight end as two really big needs for the Saints right now.
You know, it's an interesting draft class with the pass rusher. Obviously, Bradley Chubb's going to be off the board very early. But then you have, you know, Marcus Davenport from University of Texas, El Paso, and then Harold Landry from Boston College, who struggled with some injuries this past season. So, you know, I think Harold Landry could be on the board by the time the Saints pick at 27. Davenport has tremendous upside and athleticism and might be overdrafted just based on potential. And then, you know, a dark horse candidate at defensive end would be Sam Hubbard out of Ohio State, where, you know, his production isn't eye-popping, jumping off the stat page, but this is a polished player, a guy that can plug and play immediately and could be a dark horse candidate there for the Saints. Now, if they do choose to go tight end, you have Dallas Goeder, who could be on the board. And we saw Adam Shaheen, a small school tight end, get selected in the first round. I believe Dallas Goeder from South Dakota State is a better player. And, you know, some people like Hayden Hurst from South Carolina as a potential first-round pick. You get into the day two category, then maybe you're looking at a guy from Penn State, Mike Gesicki, a guy who could pass and catch Troy Fumagalli out of Wisconsin. I'll give you a late-round sleeper, Deion Yelder from Western Kentucky, a late riser during this draft process. And you mentioned wide receiver real quickly. I mean, listen, Dez Bryant is still out there, so you go and get a guy like that, probably on a bargain deal or incentive-based deal, that opens up options come draft time to go tight end or defensive end.
Now, as far as wide receiver goes, I don't see the Saints getting anybody early with the signing of Meredith, but I do think it's important with Ted Ginn maybe getting a little long in the tooth to have a guy that we could pick up maybe in the later rounds that could be the heir apparent to replace that vertical guy, the guy that takes the top off the defense. Who do you have in your mind later in the draft that we might be able to get to kind of solve that problem as a speed guy?
You start going day two, day three. How about Antonio Callaway from Florida? Here at the NFL Draft Bible, we believe that he is the best wide receiver in this year's draft class. A little bit of some off-the-field character concerns, very similar to a Tyreek Hill. Could he be the next Tyreek Hill? When will a team be willing to roll the dice on Antonio Callaway? And then Anthony Miller from Memphis, you take a look at the production, you take a look at the speed and the route running. I think Anthony Miller out of Memphis is a guy that could go maybe in that third-round area. James Washington from Oklahoma, you start getting into day three. I think he's a round four candidate. And then later on in day three, you're going to have guys like Marcus Valdes Scantling from South Florida. I mean, this guy was out at the NFLPA Collegiate Bowl, had a chance to see him up close and personal. He was burning cats all week long. Then he goes to the combine and runs a 4.3 something fast. So, and then one other dark horse candidate from Northern Iowa, Dorrice Fountain, a combine snub who was at one of these all-star games and just lighting up the cornerbacks. So all of those guys are potential slot candidates or potential Robert Foster. I mean, the list goes on and on from Alabama. Another guy who was one time considered a first-round pick, had some injuries the last couple of seasons, but all potential candidates to replace Ted Ginn down the line.
So that sounds like some of the stuff that I've heard about the draft as far as wide receivers go. It's pretty deep, maybe not too much top-heavy, but good, solid ball players that you could get later on in the draft.
I think what you're going to see here, and if you take a look at the recent trends, the NFL is all about trends. The last two or three years in the draft, a lot of the receivers taken in round two, round three, even day three, have gone on to outproduce some of the receivers taken in round one. And I think because of the spread offenses, the dumbed-down schemes, you know, players looking to the sidelines and just, you know, reading a flashcard and going out and running a route, I think you're seeing that there's a little bit more transition, a little bit more development than in years, you know, maybe 10 years ago where a lot of receivers were able to step in and play in a pro-style offense. I think you're starting to see more of a developmental position at the wide receiver because of some of the offenses at the college position. And because of that, we could possibly see zero wide receivers taken in the first round in this year's draft.
Yeah, very good point, Rick. Hey, I'm talking to Rick Serratella, NFL Draft Bible, where you get all your great draft news from. Rick, give us your Twitter feed real quick, because I noticed that you are constantly talking draft, and people who are interested in following you, how would they be able to do that?
Yeah, you nailed it right on the head, David. It's at NFL Draft Bible. Not only are we pumping up and promoting our content, but anybody that we think has, you know, relevant information, some legitimate draft buzz, you want rankings, you want scouting reports, player interviews, we put everything, podcast up on the Twitterverse. At NFL Draft Bible, it's always a can't stop, won't stop situation over there.
Rick, thank you so much. By the way, I jumped into the show. Rick, it was a little bit hard to get a hold of because he just had another kid. Was it a boy or girl, Rick?
It was a girl. So we got the newest member of the NFL Draft Bible, Familia. We're really excited about it. So we welcomed in Oceana to the world, and she's already taking notes on the 2019 draft.
That is awesome, man. Rick, thank you so much. We'll be talking to you here in the next 2 weeks, get a recap, kind of get your feedback on what you think about the picks that were made. Rick Serratella, NFL Draft Bible. Y'all follow him. Great stuff. Love the guy. All right, so now it's time. I think the commissioner's heading to the podium. It's the New Orleans Saints pick at 27. Let's see what they got.
With the 27th pick in the 2018 NFL Draft, the New Orleans Saints picked tight end out of South Carolina, Hayden Hurst.
Hayden Hurst. Yep.
The Pittsburgh Steelers are now on the clock.
He's a guy that I like because he's probably the most well-rounded tight end. He's a tough guy.
Yeah.
He's got good speed, athleticism. I really like that pick. I think you guys do too.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. On my 3.0 mock, that is why I've selected. And if you want to hear the rest of my choices.
Bonus coverage.
That's right.
That's right.
Yeah. And I'll even give you some other options that I think the Saints might be looking at later on through the draft.
So. I tell you what. What we'll do, if you want to check in, download the podcast on iTunes or Podbeam or Google Play. We're going to have John Hendricks of the Canal Street Chronicles join us, and then we're going to have Tomas's latest mock draft. So y'all join us for that on the podcast. So for Heath Elson-San, Tomas Mauricio, I'm Dave Romero. You've been listening to the BS and Beer podcast on 97.7 Sports Talk Radio.
Everyone is a so dumb, bitch. We have a lot of fun. I love this podcast. We have a lot of fun. I love this podcast. Oh, we have a lot of fun. I love this podcast. We have a lot of fun. I love this podcast. Oh, boy, don't waste time.